Oh, so much to get into, so much to talk about, and here we go. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is Friday, April 18th, 8:51 a.m. We are not live. We are, it's recorded live, obviously. No edits, no pauses, just me and my microphone. I'm the guy with a long list of things that I'm not. I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just an old guy. It's been around a while. Developed a lot of opinions along the way. And you're going to find out what they are today on the news, according to me. Oh, there you go. No, never mind. It's Freaky Friday. Not Freaking Friday. It's Freaky Friday, where I bring out all the freaks, and we play a lot of video, unless there's something else that needs to be talked about. But for the most part, this is going to be, I just have a lot of video clips. Some of the video that we've heard here, we've actually had on earlier in earlier shows, but it's just a couple of them, a couple small clips. We're going to go over some more. While I drink what is in my cup, I have the staple, the Pacific Island chai with Almond Joy creamer. And I also, now in my backup cup, I have, this is about 2 day old tea, I guess. Now I think I brewed it on Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Wednesday. I don't know, but it's good. It's good tea. It's good. Not quite as sweet as I usually have it. It's just, it's not quite as sweet, but it is. I probably need to cut back a little bit on the sugar. That's what I'm thinking, for a little while at least, because I'm gonna be drinking a lot more tea through the summer. In the wintertime, I don't mind like sweet tea being really sweet, just because I don't drink as much of it. In the summertime, I tend to go through I can go through a gallon in a day. And if you see how much, I basically put a whole 2 cups of sugar in a gallon of tea, which is, I think it's 2 cups, whatever it is. It's a lot of tea. So let's just say I dial back the strength of the tea a little bit, and I dial back a little bit of the sugar content. Cut back about 10%. Maybe a little more than that. So that's what I got as my backup cup. This morning I've got ice in there. It's just it's in a little insulated cup. Shabbat Shalom, however. Shabbat Shalom, I said. It's Pesach is Passover is coming up. Or actually, it's maybe it's past. Passover past, whatever. It passed over us. We have last week. I think it might have been last week. Was it last Sunday, last Saturday, whatever, Friday, whatever it was. I could probably look and see on the calendar, but I'm not, just not that motivated to do that. I have, our little home group is doing a Pesach tonight. We're doing that tonight. Our group of our, size of our group doubles about two times what it normally is. It's pretty cool. We have, I like the way the guy who runs the home church there, he has this little booklet that's all put together. It goes through all the teachings of what everything means, of course. And so everybody goes through it. And it is how the Jewish people can't see Messiah in the Pesach. It blows my mind. The first time I saw, there's a thing called, I think it was called the Bible Experience down in Florida. And the first time I really had it really laid out in front of me how everything went, the whole Seder meal, we went to this thing called the Bible Experience. And I think it was called the Bible Experience, but I'm pretty sure. And the place was owned by a guy who grew up Jewish, and he was a Messianic Jew. And he happened to be there that day. Now, he normally is not around. And how we just happened to be there the same day he was there was quite providential. We had very interesting, he gave a speech, and talked about Pesach. It was over the it was over the April, is over Easter time. Or was coming up on, I think it was right before Easter. So he came in and gave this little speech on the whole thing. And wow, I sat there shaking my head the whole time. I couldn't believe how do they not see? You know, they choose not to in most cases. Now, of course, there's scripture says their eyes will be blind. I have an issue with my little puppy here today. He's enamored with, there's a cat in the other part of the room here. I'm down in the home studio, by the way. He just seems to think that he needs to go over there and visit the cat. The cat likes to come down here and stare at him. So they sit here and stare at each other. But of course, he would like to eat the cat. I don't know. He would like to play with the cat, actually. He isn't. He's not sure. He's just enamored with the cat. That's a good child. So we have, that's what we're doing tonight. I always look forward to that. It's kind of one of our favorite times of the year. it's just a lot of good, it's good to be reminded of things from the past. I don't know what's going on in my throat today. I was down in Texas, and of course I was around a lot of people who apparently, in a facility where apparently a lot of people were getting sick. Now, I didn't get sick, as far as I know. I've been back now for a few days, but I definitely have this throat thing going on, and kind of a little bit of a sinus thing. And it's more about the time of year, because the weather here has been right about that point where it goes between freezing, just above freezing, to just about 50 degrees. And at that temperature, for some reason, brings out something. I don't know what it is, but it brings out something that causes my sinuses to go nuts. And then, of course, that affects my throat, and I become the, in a world where one man living in a land before time. I become the movie trailer guy. That's the only time of year I can do trailers, because I all of a sudden have the movie trailer voice. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. By the way, I heard this thing the other day. This is just a random thought. I had this, not that that's unusual at this show. I listened to this comedian, and she was talking about how things were back when, how 70s kids were. I think it was 70s kids. I should try to find this, because it is actually worth listening to. Actually, let me do it this way, because I'll go here. We'll go here. 70s kids. Let's just try that. See if we get the comedian. Some lady, and she talks about all this stuff that kids went through in the 70s. Yeah, this is it. It's her name is Karen Morgan. She goes through this whole thing. This is about a 5-minute long thing. I might play this sometime on the podcast here just to talk about it. But she talks about all this different stuff: metal roller skates that you clamp onto your shoes, doing jumps on our bicycles with cinder blocks and plywood. And kids would lay down. We do this stuff, and kids would lay down. We'd jump over kids. No helmet, by the way. Helmets looked ridiculous on kids back then. We thought kids would look at other kids. If you were wearing a helmet on a bicycle, we thought, what is wrong with you? This is back in the age of Evel Knievel. Now, I don't know if some of you are familiar with Evel Knievel. I think his son now is actually doing a show. Ronnie Knievel, or whatever his name is. I don't know what his name is. But everybody wanted to be Evel Knievel. He was the coolest guy. They had little dolls made up with Evel Knievel with motorcycles and do all kinds of stuff. And it was the stuff, we drink from hoses. Parents would lock us out of the house. They'd send us out of the house in the morning. You're going out to play. I'm going to lock the door. You don't come back in unless you're bleeding. And, you just go over to other people's houses. It just happened that way. The parents would drop you off at the movie theater. And what she described actually happened to me exactly. She talked about Jaws and how, I think it was a PG movie back then. And she said her parents dropped her off with the neighbor kids. Now, I if I didn't know better, I would have thought she was my neighbor's mom, because that is exactly what happened to me. I was, there's a little theater here in Goshen, Indiana, downtown, a little movie theater. And that's where I saw Jaws. And I saw it with my neighbor kids, my neighbor friends. And their parents dropped us off there. Of course, my parents knew we were going there. I didn't care. I was terrified of going into the bathtub after that. I think I was about 10, 11 years old, maybe. When did Jaws come out? Let's find out. what year was Jaws released? Because I saw it that year. Jaws was released in 1975. I was 13 years old. 13 years old. I think I was in seventh grade. I had to have been in grade school. It had to have been between sixth and seventh grade. I know I wasn't in seventh grade. So I had to have been 11. I'd see it. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Something like that. I don't know. It's hard to believe. It had to have been released before that. Doesn't make any sense at all. June 20th, 1975 is what it says. That's what all this stuff says. Maybe I was older than I thought. Maybe I was actually, was I 13 years old, 12 years old? I don't know. But I would have been in seventh, I would have been between seventh and eighth grade then. I don't know. So anyway, that's the story there. That's how that story goes. Now, anyway, it was just interesting how kids were back then and how compared to how they are now. I mean, we'd go to the park. My parents would basically just say, I don't care where you go. We'd run around all over town. That was a small town, 154 houses to be exact, because I delivered newspapers. It was a free newspaper that was supposed to go to every house. And that's how many I delivered. I would take about 75, I think I'd get 75 of them on my bike. I had to come back and refill the bike again. I'd do half the town and come back and refill it and go do it again. It was a once a week deal. And I got paid like $30 a week or something, whatever. It was a big deal back then. Made some money. That was probably my first real outside job that I, other than working for my dad. My dad had some businesses that I did some stuff for him. But the first real job. Now he bought after that job, he actually bought a business that I helped to run and actually did quite a bit at that point. He gave me all the candy I could eat. All the popping candy I could eat, which I ate. I probably ate all the profits. Anyway, let's get into some stuff that's going on this week. There's some interesting stuff in the news. And one of the things I'm going to talk about, and I'll talk about it in a bit, I'll kind of end up with it, because it's more of the moral issue that faces a particular culture in our society. And I don't know what to do about it. And there's a guy who, what is the guy's name? Bob Wesko, I think is his name, who works for ACLJ, I think it is, or J Sekulow's legal team. They have a show. They have a podcast as well, and they put it on YouTube. Well, I really appreciate the guy. He's a very very solid guy when it comes to legal stuff. Right up there with, and I like Jay Sekulow's program for the most part. I like Robert Gouveia probably a little bit better. Only because he talks about specific cases and runs through the actual transcripts. And he has a way of reading the transcripts that are actually very how you say, entertaining. You can actually listen. If a normal person just read through a transcript of what happened in the court case, you'd fall asleep in the first 2 minutes. He has a way of reading it and animating it that it's much better. Very entertaining, very funny. So you get a chance to watch him. Anyway, what's interesting about this whole thing is some of the things that have been said. Now, I've got my iPhone here all dialed in, plugged into the mixer, so we can get decent quality here this morning. I have this first clip, one of these clips, I can't remember which one it is, was a clip of Letitia, what's her name, James, whatever. And we'll go back over that a little bit again, but I think I played that one earlier. Well, we're going to try this. Let's just go dive right into some of this audio because I just don't want to waste any more time.
I don't know how you sleep at night. I would not do your job. I do not like it. So people can literally call your company and get a bunch of paid actors, if you will, to stand up there, hold signs, and scream on the street corner because that's what your company does.
It's number one, it's not actors. We're providing activists who are truly engaged with the cause, right?
But are they? I just showed you a video of a guy going, I don't even know why I'm here. They got signs and they got sheets and they said, go say this and talk to cameras and hold signs.
It's challenging for them to get sufficient turnout to a lot of these events, compensating people, just like Dan, you're compensated.
It's tough to get people to show up for these events.
These are your real views on this program, but you're compensated.
But I don't pay my viewers to watch me. So I love the fact that I can go on the street corner and say whatever the hell I want, a grievance against my government, or call my neighbor or whatever I want, because that's America. But I don't like that companies try to stage it all and hire people and set it up. It should be organic. The American people should want to come out, get on their soapbox, my show, I'm talking. They should come out and want to gather together and say, here's the cause I'm sticking up for. But you see, guys like you and the bureaucrats and the folks in D.C. love stirring up the pot between us Americans. And so you pay people to do this and you make a scene look bigger than it really is. You make an issue bigger than it truly is. And so I don't like your business. I'm going to end it there, but I appreciate you coming back on.
This is what I think that, you know, when you look back at the Tea Party movement, it was the left. The only thing you heard about the left was that it was a racist movement against Barack Obama because it was protesting. The whole T stood for taxed enough already, TEA. The left right away jumped in and said, these are racists. These are white supremacists. They're picketing because Barack Obama won the presidency. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know the left was saying that. I just went out to a Tea Party meeting at the kind of county courthouse. Saw a bunch of friends there. Had a good time. They were just a bunch of old people, a bunch of old folks holding up signs. Now, of course, I wasn't old at that time. I'm still not old, actually. But I have noticed that there's fewer old people around than there used to be. I have noticed that. Not as many old people. Wonder why. We have this whole group, you know, would show up. It was all grassroots. It was nobody paid me to be there. Nobody paid anybody to be there. Now, what I saw at that meeting, I'm not going to get into it, but I didn't like where the Tea Party movement was going. I liked the reason it was formed. I liked what it was about. I didn't like who was taking over it, the Tea Party. I thought it was becoming the Republican establishment started jumping in. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that the Republican Party was starting to take over the Tea Party movement. I would rather seen the Tea Party movement take over the Republican Party. But it was very difficult, very, very frustrating to see what was going on there. Anyway, the point is, it was grassroots. It was people showed up because they had their own signs. They made their own signs. Nobody gave them signs or bought signs for them, or they didn't show up to a booth or get bussed in. It was community folks showing up, and there was hundreds of us there. And I posted a little thing on Facebook about it. And I just showed a little video of, hey, look, everybody's here. We're, you know, protesting taxes. And I got this weird email from somebody or message from someone who said, you were at that meeting? Oh, that surprises me. I didn't realize, you know, Like they didn't say anything. They didn't say, oh, I didn't realize you were racist. All they said was, oh, I didn't realize. And I couldn't verify what they were talking about. It was kind of like, what do you mean you didn't realize? What are you talking about? Well, I'm really concerned about you. You don't trust your government. And that was the only thing that this lady said. And of course, she's on the left coast. And it was the first time I ever really kind of, what are you talking about? And since when should we trust our government? All of a sudden, it was like a mortal sin to not trust your government. And of course, now you have to realize what I've figured out since then is to the left, government is your God. It is your religion. And the high priests and priestesses are people like Nancy Pelosi, Joaquin Jeffries, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer. All these people, they're all they want to be anyway, the head of the all-powerful government that rules your life, tells you how to live. Oh, we don't want to tell you what to do, but you better follow the law, and we're going to make the laws, and we're going to tell you what to do. So that's kind of where things go. Now, having said that, I have since learned a whole lot since. That was probably 30 years ago. I think it had to have been. Because it was 2008. It would have been 2008. Well, actually 2009. The summer of 2009 is when the Tea Party started. If I remember correctly. And that's, it was either 10 or 10. Right? What would that have been? 15 years ago. It had to have been 2009. I guess it wasn't 30 years ago. It was 20, almost 20 years ago. I guess I can't do math anymore. Somebody said that the difference between 1975 and 2025 is the same as the difference between 1975. Let's see, what is that? That's 20. 25 and 25 is 50 years. 1925. 1925 and 1975. 1925, before the war. Before the World War I or II. it's when you start looking at things that way, it's like, oh my, that was a long time ago. And I was already, I was in high school in 1975. What was I doing? I was watching Jaws. I was 13 years old. Always comes back to that, doesn't it? Everything revolves around Jaws. So we have another video here. I already played that last one. We talked about it ad nauseum earlier in the week. Here's one that's interesting.
I'm Filipino Japanese, second generation. I'm a disabled trans man, but I'm also a Medicaid patient.
Now, this is courtesy of Anthony Brian Logan. He is a fellow who has a show. It's called Anthony Brian Logan on YouTube. He's usually on live. It'll be on for quite a while. But this is a clip of him. They call a short on YouTube. And this lady, guy, who I don't know, but trans man, whatever, disabled, binary, trans, every label you can think of, but except for one, and we'll talk about that when Brian gets in. So Anthony Brian Logan, he's going to talk about this at the end. But so this lady goes through this whole long list of things. Let's back it up again, because I kind of want to. Oops, that's not going to work. Where'd she go? No, there we go. No. There we go. Here we go.
I am Filipino-Japanese, second generation.
Filipino-Japanese, second generation.
I'm a disabled trans man.
Disabled trans man.
I'm also a Medicaid patient.
Medicaid.
I'm also a person who uses food stamps.
Food stamps.
I'm also
EBT.
A person who has been through houselessness
Homeless.
In this country. I am also a person who has gone through substance use and addiction.
An addict.
And most of all, I am a patient of Planned Parenthood.
She's a patient of Planned Parenthood. So in other words, she's had an abortion.
What?
rain.
Okie dokie. There we go.
This is so, Anthony Bryan.
Yeah, there's Logan. Quite a bit of oppression right there. Quite a bit of oppression. You pretty much said everything. I don't know what's missing. You didn't say you were an orphan, raised by wolves. Might as well said that. Throw anything. Throw the whole kitchen sink in there while you had it. But hey, you know what? Through all the oppression, through all the rigmarole you had to go through, you're still right here. And you've not missed one meal. So I think
obviously,
all things
she's very,
you're doing
also
pretty well, right?
Overweight.
Maybe it's just.
That was one label she missed. However, there's one label I noticed that she didn't say, and she probably is horrendously opposed to. And yet, after going through everything she's gone through, she has not said anything about it. And probably would hate you if she knew you were one. And that is, she is not a Christian. That wasn't part of her identity at all. Nothing about being a follower of Christ. Nothing about being a believer in Messiah. Nothing to that degree. Not even any context there. She's up there. And by the way, she's reading all of this from a script. If you watch her, she's looking down, reading this off of a paper. This is the kind of thing that, this is, you know, they get these people up there to parade around and pretend like we hate them. We don't hate them. What I hate is what they're doing. What they're doing is throwing this in the faces of people around them, saying, you better bow down to me and I better get some kind of special right, special treatment, all these things that I have been oppressed for, as Anthony said. And now you better kowtow to me. You better make sure I have my rights. I have special rights. Trans rights and Filipino right, whatever it is, second generation, whatever kind of rights you got, whatever. I guarantee you, Donald Trump and Elon Musk are not trying to erase you. They're trying to help you. Not to not be a victim for the rest of your life. Because that seems to be your identity. My identity is I'm a victim of everything, of all kinds of oppression because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, D, P, D, Q. Frankly, this person doesn't know who they are or what they are. They have this long list of things. I guess, okay, let's just get to the bottom of this. What concerns me is someday this person is going to stand before God. Is this the speech that you're going to throw in his face as well? Are you counting on this to get you some kind of? I'm not going to try to judge where this person is with God. I just know that we all stand before God at some point. And the thought of that is, you know, before me every day, every minute of every day. There's nothing he doesn't see. Anyway, let's go on. Let's move on to the next thing. This is
have been more than
Elizabeth Warren. Now this is, she's talking to, I don't think I played this one on the show yet. She's talking to someone about this. This was in February of 21, which was after 1 year into the president and into President Biden's. No, February of 21. Since February of 21, I think this was February 22. I think it was 1 year. 1 year into the Biden administration, and she compares that 1 year to. to the 4 years that, that Donald Trump previously, in from 2016 to 2017 to 2021. And she goes through this whole thing. And of course, Elizabeth Warren, well, no, starts going into this whole thing. I can't stand listening to her talk. And this is what she says. So let's go back. Go back to this here real quick.
There have been more than 6.9 million apprehensions at the southern border thus far in Biden's term.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
There are all these little things that are interjected. This is somebody who posted this short and they put in this stuff, this extra stuff. So that's what this is. You'll hear these little comments that somebody put in those little movie clips inside this. So there's been some editing. I didn't edit that stuff out. So just so you know, that's what it is.
Over 2 million in Donald Trump's entire term.
The difference between 6.9 million and 2 million.
What did the president do wrong? No, this isn't about what the president did wrong. Remember, on the very first day that he was sworn into office.
Don't remind me.
President Biden asked Congress both for the resources and for comprehensive immigration.
Now listen, every time they talk about comprehensive immigration reform, they're talking about amnesty. They're talking about amnesty and open border policy. Just processing everybody who comes in. Anybody who wants to come in, we're going to process them all. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about changing the immigration system, making it better, doing anything. They're better to them. Because I think right now the normal number that we allow in every year is 1.2 million, I think, is what the normal amount is. Now, there was a time back in the 70s, was it 70s? Early 70s, Nixon was president. He closed the border. No immigration, zero immigration for almost two or three years. We had zero immigration. That's the president's prerogative. That's within the executive branch. So, but they act like that's never happened or that was racist or whatever was going on. But now she says it wasn't what Biden did wrong. Well, okay, so Trump was doing something and you did something different because all of a sudden we went from 2 million to 6.9, almost 7 million apprehensions. Now that doesn't include the 2 million gotaways that would happen in that year as well. That they estimate. They don't know. And these were apprehensive. Now, the apprehensions didn't send them back. They just tagged them and let them go. It was a catch and release program with a 4 or 5 year down the road, maybe you'll get a hearing at some point for your seeking asylum. At which point in 4 years, you'll be able to say, well, I've got a family here. I've married, you know, they'll get a chance to marry somebody who's a citizen or whatever. And that allows them to stay, lets them start to naturalize the process. And of course, if you commit crimes during that time, you got problems. And that's what happened to this Abuego, whatever the guy's name is, that got purposefully kicked out of the country. It wasn't a clerical error that he got picked up. He got picked up for the right reason. And he got sent back to where he came from. He was here illegally. Wasn't a resident, legal resident. He was seeking legal residency. He probably wasn't going to get it. Now in 2019, he got a deportation order because they looked into everything. And yes, he is. They always say, "Oh, there's no evidence of him being an MS-13 member." Oh, yeah, yes, he is now. They determined there's no. They don't have like a roster. Well, let's look it up online here, the organization. Let's look at the organization, look it up online and see if he's a card-carrying member. They don't have cards. It's kind of like Antifa. Oh, it's not really an organization. It's more like an idea. Well, then how are they getting, how are they organizing? How are they all showing up at the same time, wearing the same thing, destroying things with bricks that just show up on... So, not in the middle of a construction zone. There's all of a sudden bricks and frozen bottles of water show up everywhere. They start running around tearing things up. How does that happen? Anyway, let's move on. We'll continue on here with this.
The Republicans blocked it.
Is she having a stroke?
Donald Trump didn't have that either.
Oh.
Senator, he didn't have that either, and there were 2 million.
Good point.
The president tries to deal with the problem that is presented to him. He can't deal with it if Congress and the Republicans continue to block him.
Sounds like you're making.
So this is what their whole thing was Republicans are blocking it. Republicans were blocking Donald Trump. If you remember, he was trying to put up a wall, and a lot of them bailed on him on that one. And they gave up in the midterms and allowed the Democrats to come back. I know that there were a lot of establishment Republicans at that time made deals with the other side, saying, well, they're going to step down. And they would time it so that it would work out perfectly. This, when you go back and look at all the people who retired as congressmen back in before the midterms, was it 2022, I guess it was, the midterms happened. I'm sorry, 2018. And of course, they're sworn in 2019. But the 2018 midterms in Trump's first term in office, the whole thing was they just basically they were so appalled that the guy won the election. They didn't want to be a part of this administration and go along. They wanted out. Now, part of their deal was they got out so that the Democrats could take over and impeach Donald Trump. That was their whole purpose. That was their whole move there. There were some people who tried to do that at the last election. There were some guys that tried to retire before they could put someone else in, which would have enabled Democrats to come in and take over somehow. They wouldn't have enough House seats to control Congress. It's very close in the Congress, even closer in the Senate. And some of these guys were trying to play the system and it was an obvious move against the MAGA crowd or whatever, the Trump administration. Now, just in spite of all the crap that's going on and in spite of all the stuff that the media is trying to do, everything that's trying to happen on the leftist media, they're beside themselves because of after everything that they've done, he's actually increasing in the polls. Now, here's the problem with that. They live and die by the polls. I wish I had that. I probably have it somewhere in my library here. I had a thing of Chuck Schumer, and he was talking about how we're going out and we're mobilizing and we're going to bring his poll numbers down. It's all about bringing the poll numbers down. They don't care what it takes. They know they need to get his poll numbers down because that's what they live by those. Of course, even though the Democrats' approval rating right now is less than 20%. It's ridiculously low. Because they think that if his poll numbers go down, it will draw a lot of other people in. A lot of congressmen don't want to be tagged to that. They'll start bucking against the president. That's not what's happening. There are people leaving the Democrat Party right now in droves. They're tired of all the stuff because it's not, they have no vision. They have no future looking vision for the country. It's everything about it is all anti-Trump, pro-woke, and, you know, just calling everybody else a bigot if you don't go along with the woke agenda. And people are tired of that. On both sides of the aisle, people are tired of that. There is such a vacuum right now in the Democrat Party that you got this guy, senator or congressman? I think he's a senator. Runs down to El Salvador to try to talk to Abuego or whatever. I guess he finally actually got to meet with the guy. And I guess they had margaritas together. He's wearing regular clothes and everything's fine. We're supposed to believe that somehow he's being persecuted down there, and that's not the way it came across at all, I guess. I didn't get to see the actual... I heard that he got pushed away and told to go home, but somehow he got a meeting with the guy, I think. The headline I saw, I didn't actually get into the article. So I don't know what happened there, but apparently he got to talk to the guy. But it turned out to be the biggest flop in the world. I think this guy has presidential hopeful. Everybody right now in the Democrat Party, they all think they have a shot because there's nobody leading the party. The Democrat Party is in shambles right now. If talk about chaos, they are the ones in chaos right now. They keep talking about Donald Trump being, you know, the Trump administration being, they are in chaos. There's, you know, there's two kinds of chaos. One is kind of a good chaos, like organized chaos, where a lot of things are happening. It's all crazy. It's, there's just a lot of progress, but, and there's a lot of back and forth. How are we going to do this? The point is you're getting something done. It's just a matter of everybody kind of jumping in and trying to get it done and moving forward. This happens in conversations sometimes. And this is where people get misunderstanding sometimes in conversations. When you're engaged in a conversation and kind of both people are kind of talking back and forth and there's this banter and it's moving forward and people are kind of stepping over each other and talking to each other, you're moving forward in the conversation. You're at least engaged in the subject, the bottom line subject of the matter in a meeting. However, there is this other thing where people come in and they interrupt with stuff about that's totally off subject or totally off the wall, totally has nothing to do with where you're going. It's not engaged in the process, in the vision, anything. It's just something off from left field. That's an interruption. That's a distraction. That causes chaos. So when you got four or five people doing that in a meeting, all with their own agenda, all with their own ideas and visions, and don't like the particular vision that they're working on, that's called bad diversity. And it doesn't matter what color skin you have. That's just bad diversity. And this whole idea that diversity is our strength, that has never been proven. Never. It's always been the opposite. When you have weird cultural ideas that you're trying to bring into a particular project and make it about that, it should just be about the project. Getting the project done. What's the end goal? Well, we're trying to feed hungry people. Okay, well, let's not talk about pronouns. We're just trying to feed hungry people. Let's not talk about how we're going to move stuff around because it's got to be environmentally friendly, so we've got to use electric cars to get the food to the people. It's just, let's just get the food to the people. We're trying to feed the people. Okay, let's just do that. If along the way we can find some way to do something else that's helpful, that's more efficient, that's great. But let's focus on the vision. That's just an example. It's not even really necessarily a good example, but just, you know. Anyway, all right, here's one more. I think I have one or two more of these. This next one, I think it's Letitia James, I think. Might not be. This could be one with... Well, we'll talk about that guy in a little bit. Here's
this is Mr. Montgomery. I met him a few weeks ago.
Okay, this
there
is.
Have been more than
let's go. This goes way back. Bob Hope. This is just more for your comedic entertainment. Bob Hope did this little thing. I remember this. This is so funny. And he got away with it back then. He's in Hollywood, keep in mind. You know, you wouldn't be able to get away with this today, probably, without being ostracized. He was such a big name, and it was the difference between Democrats and Republicans weren't that big, but this is a slam on Democrats. But it's become more true now than ever. So this is I don't know who his co-stars are here, but this is Bob Hope in his movie.
This is Mr. Montgomery. I met him a few weeks ago in New York.
Oh, well, how are you? You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
How horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
I'm sorry. Is that as funny as I think it was? I think it was pretty funny. I'm going to go with, yeah, that was pretty funny. Okay, sweet. Yeah. Okay. Now let's, there might be one more here. This might be Letitia James. I'm going to keep on going with this. This one's about,
my mission is clear.
Yeah, this is Letitia James.
I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you.
Tell you what, I'm gonna go back over this.
This is Mr. Montgomery. I met him a few.
I need to turn this up a little bit because there's some things about her voice I want to analyze. Now, keep in mind, she has almost always, every time she's gotten in front of cameras or anytime she's been interviewed, talked to the public, anytime she does this thing where she's very, almost like she's trying to hold back from screaming. But she's, oh, I'm going to go. I have to mention two words. Donald Trump. We're going to go after him. Yes, I'm going to. Will you sue him for us? Yes, I'm going to sue him. We're going to go after him. We're going to take everything he has. She does all this stuff. And it's the voice, the tonal and everything about her. Now, she does this thing while she's doing this speech. Now, I have to hand it to her. She's not reading it. She's not reading this stuff, which becomes obvious at some point. She did this thing the other day where she quoted scripture. No weapon formed against me will perish. No. That's not what you want. You want weapons formed against you to perish. You don't want them to prosper. You want them to perish. No weapon formed against me will perish. In other words, it's not going to perish. That's the problem. So, I mean, I appreciate the passion, but you might want to correct yourself on that one. And I think, now, when people do that kind of thing, sometimes when people, especially when people are in a position that she's in and she's making this kind of a speech, sometimes these things are harbingers. They are a word spoken mistakenly or something that happens in the midst of an event like this that actually has more profound truth up to it than what you realize. Sometimes. Sometimes it's just a slip of the tongue. Usually when a person does that, they can correct themselves. She's not doing that here because she's inflamed inside. She has built her whole launch pad. She wants to be the governor. That was her whole goal, was to become governor. She's made that clear in some other things that she's said in the past. So she thought Donald Trump was going to be her step to popularity. I'm going to be the one that takes him out. And I'm going to be the governor of New York. She has people around her propping her up. This is just like what's her name down in Georgia, who never won an election but thought she won all the elections and never conceded the election in Georgia. I'm running for governor down there, and she does the same kind of thing. I can't remember that. Christy is it Abrams? Is that her name? Anyway, So here we are. Now, I want to analyze. Listen to her. I'll just say it up front here, so you can kind of listen to her as she's speaking. When she says the P words, this happens quite often. I've noticed this with there were some other people. Who was it that was in the Biden administration? Would say the P word. Maybe it was a congressman. But Letitia does this, and she will say P words, and she. It's a serious, and now she also has a growl to her voice. It's kind of a groaning, growling grunt, and I call it and the 3G speech. She has a. This isn't fiery passion. This is this is actually, at its deepest core, this is fear. She is really. Speaking out of fear, but she's angry that she's being caught. And what happened was she was committing fraud, real estate fraud, right before, but within months, just a couple months before she filed charges against Donald Trump for the whole supposed fraud thing in the real estate dealing he did with the bank that nobody brought. She just brought, the state brought the charges on their own. No one was harmed. There wasn't any plaintiff that she just decided to charge the guy. Meanwhile, she's doing the same. Now, she has a house in New York. Supposedly, that's where her residence is. Well, some people have gone to that place, and they've done some investigation. They can't find, she's not there. First of all, somebody else is living there. And they won't talk about who they are. They won't answer any questions. And if you show up to ask them any questions, they just say, you're trespassing, you got to get out of the property. However, the neighbors have some things to say. They say, We've never seen her there. We've never seen her in the neighborhood, never seen her out there in the yard, never met her, never nothing, know nothing about her. Letitia. Now they've met the neighbor, the person, the people who live in there, but they've never met her, never met Letitia. That's supposedly her residence. Where she's actually living is in another place that's outside of the state. Happens to be outside of the state and happens to be a place where she claimed that her husband was her dad because she got a better, if she was married, she got a better loan deal, lower interest rate. So she defrauded the bank. And she said it was a 4-bedroom house and not a 5-bedroom house because that was also, she got a lower interest rate. She defrauded the bank on multiple times. It might have even been the insurance. I think the insurance had something to do with that as well, because a 5-bedroom home was going to be more insurance, something to that effect. Yeah. I don't know all the details. Now, this is all alleged. So it's all alleged. The investigation is ongoing. It doesn't look good for her. She's claiming that this is just Donald Trump weaponizing the Justice Department to come after her. No, this is you committing willfully fraud against the bank. Now, the irony and the hypocrisy here is that you were going after someone else for the same thing, even though they hadn't done anything wrong. And now you're saying, this, and again, it's the projection of the Democrats, just a typical thing that they do. Oh, I just lost my video feed here for some reason. What? Here we go. All right, let's go back. I want to listen to her voice. This is anger, and it's anger with the core root of fear. She's actually very fearful. Now, she says she's not in this whole thing. She pats her chest. She does this thing with her fingers. She pats her chest again. She does this thing with her fingers where she points back, and she sounds very fiery, and she wants to get everybody involved. We're going to fight back because, you know, why? Because she. This is for all about her. This isn't about the people. It's about going after Donald Trump because she stands to gain something from it. Not because the people stand to gain. She doesn't care about the people. She doesn't care about her constituents at all. This is all about her. But she's trying to get the crowd riled up. And she's going to ride the wave and be the one out front. That's what this is all about. Now listen to what she says here. That's what her voice tells me. When she's yelling like she is, and she's using anything she says with a P, I can't even do it. I wish I could think of the other person who does this. It was someone during the Biden administration would talk with the P words. I'll think of it while she's talking here. Let's listen to what she has to say. Oops, some reason.
I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you. We're standing up for you.
She says we're standing up for you. Now, this is something that I think, again, this is another slip. You don't stand up for someone. You stand up against someone. I think that this is maybe a Freudian slip, but it certainly is a little bit of a challenge.
Fighting on! We're not going down silent! Victory, my friends, is clear! It's now! And I'm not waiting 4 years, I'm waiting 2! Until a speaker by the name of Hakeem Jeffries comes to bring us some rest! Come on, ladies, it's up to us! We saved this democracy before, we'll save it now! Let's go!
Okay. We'll save democracy again. We'll do just again. She's trying to drag everybody into this whole thing, get this movement going. Sometimes people don't realize how small they are. Let's just put it that way. In their minds, they surround themselves. You know, this happens so many times with politicians and actors and actresses and everything else. Everybody around them is, what's the word? Everybody around them is all pro them. They've fawn over them. They love having the access to that person. They think that person's great. At least that's the way they treat them to their face. They make them elevate their importance to beyond belief. They stroke their egos. The people have huge heads. They think that they're in charge of everything and everybody knows who they are. They go to run for president and they don't even get 1% of the vote in their own party. Now this happened to, believe it or not, just happened to Joe Biden many, many times. How many times did he run for president? In the primaries. Never made it anywhere. Until finally that time when there was an opening and nobody else wanted the job or nobody else could get the job. And they pushed him into it. This happens so many times. Lindsey Graham is a good example of this. In his state, apparently he's popular enough to keep winning the votes. And I think that's just because he has power in the political realm. He has all the money, he has all the control of everything, the party in his particular state. He's run for president as well several times. Never gets anywhere in the primary. Nationally, he's not very popular at all. And these people in their own little world are very popular. This happens with actors and actresses as well. Everybody around them, everybody's serving them. They love the fact that they're working. Oh, yeah, they love to name drop. Yeah, I'm so-and-so's housekeeper. Whatever it is, I walk their dog. And everybody around them treats them as if they're some kind of higher elevated status of a human being. And when they actually go outside their little show, outside their little audience, outside their little sphere, they find out a lot of people don't like them. A lot of people never heard of them. A lot of people don't care about them. Well, don't you know who I am? Don't you know how I'm... That happens so many times with police officers. So I pull somebody over and they're like, do you know who I am? Well, maybe you need to look on your driver's license and see who you are. Or, you know, do you know who my father is? Well, no, but I'm sure your mom could tell you. I mean, just things like that. It's this self-aggrandizing kind of stuff that goes on. Now, here's I think this is one more.
In that 4 minutes.
Well, there's so many things that have been developed in space that benefit.
Okay, this is, I'm turning this down again. This is the girls. This happened this last week. And this is, folks, I don't think this actually happened. I don't think they actually went up in space. I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. But this rocket thing that came down, okay, there's a whole bunch of weird things about this whole thing. It's way weirder than the moon landing. And I believe the moon landing actually happened. But this is weird. The thing comes down, it lands. There's nothing disturbed on the ground after this thing supposedly lands and dust and everything is going all over the place. And they walk up to this thing to open it up from the outside, and the girls accidentally opened it from the inside. Oh, no, you're not supposed to open it up yet. Wait, I'm coming with a wrench to open this. Jeff Bezos is supposed to open this thing. A man, by the way. They could have been mannequins, okay? They could, or womanikins, or whatever they are. I don't know what you want to call them, but they did not have to be. They're cargo. That's all they were. And they're talking about how important it was for women and to be up in space. We're now astronauts. They're not astronauts. The definition of an astronaut. If you talk to an astronaut, you know what the definition of an astronaut is. That's offensive to call them astronauts. They were cargo. Now, what was weird about it was they hardly ever looked out of the windows. Now, they were in space, if you want to call it that, space for, it was lower, upper atmosphere space, for 4 minutes. 4 minutes. I've watched commercials between television shows for longer than that. And they think that they're astronauts and they've done so much for women and humanity. Oprah Winfrey was crying on the ground. She was, I don't know, probably because there was two black women on board. I don't know. But the whole thing was, what? Now, I don't know. Jeff Bezos, apparently his fiance was on board. Frankly, they did research. They did research. Let's listen to what they did here. This is where it gets really, really, we're kind of wacky. We'll just have to hear what she has to say about it.
In that 4 minutes.
Well, there's so many things that have been developed in space that benefit Earth, from pharmaceuticals to research on agriculture.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, I paused there because we did research. And
she pauses there because she couldn't think of anything else. I can think of about 12 things right off the top of my head, everything from metallurgy to biological development. There's all kinds of things. But there's, she goes, what was it? Pharmaceuticals to farming. And we did research. We did research while we were up there.
It was emotional. I mean, part of what I accomplished in my flight was I was looking at the future of being able to produce crops that can withstand harsh environments so we can look at food security here on Earth.
Hmm.
And simultaneously, we also were able to certify that device so more people could do research on New Shepard.
So now, what's interesting here is if you couple this with what Jasmine Crockett said the other day about how black people aren't farming because they're done with the plantation. How many of y'all are starting farming? How many of y'all? No, let's see a row, show of hands. How many of you? See, nobody's farming. Nobody's going, we're done with the plantation. Well, I hate to tell you this, but farming is a good business. And there are black farmers in this country. In fact, there's an association of black farmers. It's actually a pretty good sized organization. So you're just discounting all those people. Are those people still slaves? No, those people are working the land, probably more independent than any black person has ever been. In fact, there were people who, once they were freed, were given land to farm. It's not a bad gig for some people, if all goes well. So there's just the ridiculousness of the back and forth of some of these people. Now, I think that's everything. Yeah, that's everything I've got. So we have one more thing I want to play real quick. I know I've gone to an hour now, so it's kind of a long show. But this is one thing. And I was going to talk a lot more about this. I'll probably just have to talk about it on Monday. And what do we call Mondays? Mishmash Monday. That's what we call it. It's just a mishmash of everything. Topical Tuesday. Maybe Topical Tuesday would be a better time. Topical Tuesday might work better because there's a couple topics I want to talk about. And one of them is this whole thing with this Carmelo Anthony, I guess is his name. Austin Metcalf and Carmelo Anthony. Austin Metcalf's father is an interesting character. They're just weird things being said by the Carmelo Anthony family and representatives. But this is worth saying. I can't remember this guy's name. I was going to write it down. This is courtesy of Devorah Darkins. He had this on his show. This is from Jay Sekulow's program. This guy was being interviewed, I think, by somebody on either One American News or possibly Fox. I'm not sure which, but we'll play this. What he says is pretty much exactly the way it needs to be said. And I know we've talked about this before, but I'm just going to play this real quick, and we'll have more about this topic next week, either probably Tuesday. Maybe a little bit on Mishmash Monday. We'll see how things go over the weekend. But
it's just moral and spiritual perversion at work here. My sympathies go out to the Metcalf family. But this is taking race grievance to a whole nother level. And what we're doing is we're taking the violent actions of this young killer and turning him into some kind of folk hero, with thousands of dollars are being raised to defend him. Merchandise are being sold. And it is a perversion. If this kid, if Metcalf was black, we wouldn't hear about it. In my work, I have interviewed a mother who lost all four of her sons to black-on-black murder before the age of 30. There are 13-year-old black girls being convicted of murder. So we have a real crisis, but it is not a racial crisis. It is a moral and spiritual crisis that is, and we're in this spiral downward and is consuming this nation. And so, and it won't be solved with therapists. The only thing that can solve it is a moral and spiritual presence.
Now that was,
this is Bob Woodson, the Woodson Center Foundation. He's Woodson Foundation Center, whatever, something like that. He's also a regular on the Jay Sekulow program. Nails it, in my opinion. This is not a black or white thing. This is not about the color of someone's skin. This is about a cultural problem we've got. And I don't know how else to explain that. It's just that's just where it is. And it's I know why I didn't get turned up. I was trying to turn that up and it wasn't going up. That's because I was pushing the wrong slider. Not me, but my engineer was pushing the slider. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. It's been a long show. I've gone over an hour. And so we will have a show next week, all day next week. We'll have a show every day. That's the theory. We'll see how that goes. But we should have a show every day. There's one possibility of me possibly doing something like a couple days since I think my wife has some time off. I have some time off. So we might go somewhere with the puppy dogs. Maybe do an overnight someplace at a B&B or something that's pet friendly or something. I don't know. May go camping. We'll see what happens. In the meantime. So I have a great weekend. Happy Easter to all of you who celebrate Easter, who celebrate Pesach, who celebrate whatever you celebrate this weekend, anniversary, whatever it is. God bless. Have a great weekend. Take care. I will see you next week. Resurrection Day. That's another good one.